you would, and let's turn to the book of Acts, chapter 8. Acts, chapter 8. Acts, chapter 8, we'll begin reading in verse 26. Acts, chapter 8, and verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south on the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, ready to say as the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Esaias and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth, and his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they both went down, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Father, thank you again for the Word of God. We want to pray again for the Lockhart family and the issues that they're dealing with there in Mexico City. And Lord, we just pray that you would give Brother Lockhart and folks in his church the ability to deal with those issues and the people that are being oppressed of the devil and involved in the idolatrous worship of death and the things that they're doing. We just pray that you'd help them to be able to reach past all that and let the Word of God make a difference in their heart. And Father, we pray that the Word of God would make a difference in our heart today too. As we continue studying the Word of God, just we pray you'd bless each one. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this passage of Scripture is an amazing passage of Scripture for a lot of different reasons. There are some very important things there that we talk about all the time. We could talk about the fact that that Philip talked about this person and talked to this person, and he came and you notice when Philip preached to him, obviously the context says with verse 36, Peter talked to him about not only believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, but making a profession of faith in baptism by following the Lord in baptism. And so he said, Here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And of course Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And so baptism is something that is for believers. It's not for unbelievers, it's for believers. And so that's an obvious proof text on that. And then we also see that when they stopped the chariot, they both went down into the water and came up out of the water, which indicates that the baptism was not by sprinkling, but by immersion. They actually went down into the water. They came up out of the water. So we talk about that, and we can use that picture there. And many times when this is preached, that's what it's talking about. This morning I talked to you about the responsibility and the burden for being a soul winner. And when we talk about soul winning, when we talk about being a witness for Christ, and we talk specifically about what we would call soul winning, actually getting the gospel to people in some manner or form, There is a introductory point that we have to get to. And I was trying to get over those first hurdles and trying to remember those first hurdles. And the first hurdle is just to be obedient to God, just to be willing to do what God says. That right there is half the battle. All right, just the willingness to do what God says, to say, okay, I'm going to live by faith, and God's laid upon me not only the responsibility, but the privilege of taking His message, taking the gospel out to other people. And so I have made up my mind, I'm going to follow the Lord, I'm going to do this thing. Just like when you got saved, and we talked about this eunuch here, you got to the point, and they preached, and they said, hey, you've been saved, you need to be baptized, you need to publicly profess Christ as your Savior. And you said, you made up your mind and said, you know what, I'm going to obey God and I'm going to get baptized. I'm going to let everybody know that I'm a Christian. I'm going to identify myself with the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so you made a decision to do that. And same way, you just did it by faith. It was a simple thing. Wasn't that difficult. But you simply trusted God. Now, around here, it's not a big thing to get baptized. In some places, it would be a huge thing to get baptized. You know, if you go get baptized in Israel, if you were a Jew and you got saved and get baptized over there, that's trouble. People get upset about that. That causes problems in the family. Way more than it does here. And even though it may cause some problems here from time to time, but the simple fact is that you made a decision. You stepped out by faith. And so this morning we looked at the idea that salvation is the work of God. And we get a part to share into it, and we get the privilege to share into it, and we have to approach it by faith. And then secondly, we dealt with the necessity of it and the fact that it's necessary for us to do our part because people are dying and the wrath of God abides on them now. Okay? So we understand that. So we see the dynamics of it. We see that. And then there's a third part that I wanted to talk about this morning, and that is learning to yield to the Spirit and let the Spirit of God direct us in being a witness. All right? Look, you get the gospel out anyway. But there are times when God's Spirit will lead you. And I want to take a look at Philip here. And he says about Philip, he said, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Now, the angel of the Lord spake to him. Philip heard a voice, either in his own heart and head or audibly. We don't know. We're not told. We're just told that the angel of the Lord spake. Normally, when the Bible says the angel of the Lord spake, it's audible. And so, he's told to go do something. He said, go to this place. And then he went to where God told him to go. And that's an important thing. We ought to go where God tells us to go. We ought to be in the places God wants us to be. That's an important thing. If God wants us in a certain place, it would behoove us to be in that place. You remember when God told Elijah to go down by the brook Cherith and he commanded the ravens to feed him there. Well, he couldn't go to the Jordan River. He couldn't go to the Sea of Galilee. He had to go there. All right, he was there. So that's where. And then later he told him to go to a widow, a woman that's a widow in Zarephath. Remember? And that she would feed him, and the things that God did there. So he did that. He was there. Likewise, Philip is going to a place where he's supposed to go. He's going where God told him to go. Alright? That's the wonderful thing about missionaries. They go where God told them to go. But God tells us to go things. But he told him, he said, go down toward the south under the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. So that area down there we call the Gaza Strip and all that area over there. That's where this took place. Isn't it amazing that these events happened there? We know exactly where they happened. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, and was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Esaias the prophet. Now this man was a proselyte to Judaism. He identified himself as a Jew. He had embraced the Jews' religion, and he had come down all the way from Ethiopia, and came from down below. Ethiopia was below. He came up to Jerusalem. He worshipped there, and he was returning. And God wanted Philip to meet him there. And look at verse 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. You notice something, that the Spirit of God spoke to Philip and told him where to go. The Spirit of God spoke to Philip and told him what to do. He told him, go and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip obeyed. And he said, Philip ran thither unto him and heard him read the prophet Esaias. This guy was probably, obviously reading out loud. And said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet of this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Now, there's some things that we could look at very clearly and we can understand. That this fella in this chariot, he was not just an average Joe. He was the treasurer of a kingdom. He wasn't traveling alone. He wasn't traveling by himself. He had a group of people with him. He was coming up. He probably had some soldiers with him. He probably, there's no telling what he had, but whatever the case he was a man of great importance. He was the treasurer. He handled the money for a nation. He would be like our Secretary of the Treasury. He was not just your average Joe. His chariot was probably very fine, according to those standards. He was something that somebody may not think to want to approach to just on the average thing. But God sent him somewhere. God told Philip to go somewhere. He didn't tell him why. He just told him to go. And he went. First X cross, he trusted God, he went. Then he saw somebody. Then the Spirit said, go and join thyself to this chariot. And he went. He didn't know the full plan or everything was going to take place. But he gets there and all of a sudden he finds somebody reading the Word of God and somebody needing understanding. And so the man sits there and reads it. And he asked him, he said, understandest thou what thou readest? And they looked at it, and he asked him the question. He said, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? Who's he talking about? Who is he talking about here? And so Philip opened his mouth, began the same scripture, and what? Preached unto him Jesus. So Philip preached the gospel to him using Isaiah chapter 53. Now we see an amazing thing happen there. This is actually kind of simple to look at and think about as we look at this. But Philip has already committed to doing God's will. If we go back and we read the things that happened, we find that earlier in chapter 8, they were down in Samaria. Philip went down into the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. He was doing things. He was doing miracles. God was using him in a lot of different ways. He was casting out devils. And then the apostles came down. And the apostles got there. And now Philip's told to leave. Go out to the desert. Okay. So Philip goes out into the desert. He follows what God says. Then he gets to the desert and he sees this man, and the Spirit says, go join yourself to the chariot. And what we see here, we just see the dynamics of God opening the door for somebody who's willing to be obedient, of giving them guidance. On where to go. This is the simple thing, the way that God works on so many avenues. You don't learn about the power of God by waiting for God to come blow something up. You learn about the power of God and the relationship of God by just simply trusting God enough to do what He tells us to do. To trust Him by faith. To go out and do it by faith. And then what happens? Once you go do what God says by faith, then He begins to guide you and lead you and speak to you. I've had times where I've read the Bible and God speaks through the Word of God. I've times where I've read the Bible and there's been a burden put on my soul to go talk to an individual, a person. They come to mind. I think, man, I need to talk to that person. That thought comes to my mind. And I take that the whole point. I've had times where I've just been walking along and the thought comes, I look over and see somebody, and the thought comes, I ought to give them a gospel tract, invite them to church or whatever. Just pops into my head. My mind's not even there. I said, well, God doesn't do that for me. But do you bother to even try to just do what He says to do? You know, before God sent Philip to Gaza, he was down in Samaria. Do you know why he was down in Samaria? He wasn't down in Samaria because he was sent there on a mission from God. God did send him down there, in a sense. But notice what it says if you go to Acts chapter 8, and Saul was consenting at his death. That was Stephen. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentations over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and haling men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. We talked about that. But how did Philip get down there? He was run out of town. He was kicked out of his home. He had to leave because they were trying to kill him. And he had to leave. They were scattered abroad. There was great persecution. They didn't say, hey, I think the Lord's calling me to Samaria. But when he went down there, what did he do? He preached the word. And those that were scattered abroad, they went everywhere. What? Preaching the word. They just kept doing what they were supposed to be doing in the first place. And that's where Philip got where he was. And Philip got down where he was. He just said, hey, I'm going to go preach the word. And as he preached the word, God used that. But God also spoke to his heart and gave him a specific direction of somewhere to go. God knows where people are that need to be saved. God even knows where people are that are ready to be saved. And there's Philip. But it started with him doing what? Just obeying God. Just trusting God enough to obey Him. And this is a wonderful passage of Scripture. We get down here and we look down there. We go down and we read it again. We see more things here. And of course we see that verse 36, as they went on their way, they came unto certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. So God sends Philip to Gaza, sends him to a place. Then he sends him to a person. And then he gives him this guidance. And then the guy gets saved. He gets baptized. By the way, that's why you shouldn't worry about delaying baptism. You should baptize people right away. As soon as they're willing to be baptized, baptize them. I don't understand. There's churches today that will sit there and people make a profession of faith and everything like that. And then You need to go through a Bible study course and all this type of stuff so before we baptize. That's not the Bible. You say, what if they're lying to you and they don't really believe and you baptize them? Well, you just answered your question. They lied to you, they don't really believe, they got wet. If they ever get to the point where they really believe, then they need to get baptized again. Right? I mean, just common sense. We fuss about all kind of little things. What if this and what if that? Who cares? Don't worry about it. Just do what God said. But he got there. He was forced out. Something beyond his control. He was just living his life and something happened. It was beyond his control. He ended up down in Samaria. So he said, "Hey, I'm here. I preach the word just like everybody else. We're going to preach the word. We're going to obey God. We're just going to trust Him. Keep doing what God said to do. Keep doing what God said to do. Keep doing what God said to do." And then he got guidance. God gave him specific guidance, didn't he? He led him to a specific person. By the way, God can do the exact same thing for me and you, but if you're not willing to simply try to do what God said to do in the first place about being a witness and giving the gospel to people, then, you know, why are we expecting God to give us special guidance when we won't do what we already know? We won't just do what we're supposed to do. How are you supposed to be, you know, if you're afraid to trust God to just talk to somebody, what makes you think that you trust God enough if He said to go somewhere? And that's the truth about it. And then when God does speak to our heart, we don't obey because we're not ready. We're not prepared because we don't have a pattern of obedience in our life, in our heart already. So there's the picture there. The good news is we can change that. But then notice what happened. They were come up out of the water. The Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Now when it said the Spirit of the Lord called up Philip, I don't know whether he just snatched Philip up and boom, deposited him somewhere else, or whether he just told him to go somewhere else. It kind of contextually seems like the Spirit of the Lord just took him up and he was gone. And the eunuch saw that, and he went on his way rejoicing. So he went back to Ethiopia saved, and there's a long history of Bible-believing churches a long time ago in Ethiopia. Like much of Africa, they've gone by the wayside, but there was once a thriving bunch of Bible-believing churches in Ethiopia. And may in part be due to this fellow here. Who knows? had to go back and look at the history of it. There's a lot of history in Ethiopia that's kind of scrambled up and everything like that. But the simple fact is that there's something that happened. But then, you see here it says, but Philip was, verse 40, but Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Now, he was found at Azotus. Next time we see him in that little statement there, he's at Azotus. I didn't take the time to figure out where Azotus was. I probably knew it at some point and probably forgot what it is how much distance it was from Gaza and the area was at. But he's in a different place. But you know what he's doing? The Bible doesn't tell us that the Lord sent him to Azotus, and the Bible doesn't tell us the Lord sent him to this people or that people. He's in Azotus and he's traveling. He's on his way to Caesarea. And what is he doing? Same thing he was doing before the Lord told him. He's getting the gospel out to people. Do you see the picture there? Well, so many times we want to see God do the miraculous, but what's required for the miraculous to happen on our part, for us to be a part of it, is actually very mundane. It's just simply doing what God said to do. It's being willing to believe God, to believe that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. To believe that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. To believe that, lo, He is with us always, even unto the end of the world. To believe that He has all power in heaven and earth. To believe and express that belief by simple obedience. And when we do that, an amazing thing happens. Same thing with reading the Bible, studying the Word of God, and reading the Bible and praying and everything. When we consistently do that, we begin to see greater things happen. We get more direction from God. Remember the phrase that you hear me say all the time, you find the will of God by what? Doing the will of God. You find the will of God by doing the will of God. You say, boy, I wish God would lead me to somebody. Well, do the will of God that you know, and He will. There's the picture and the pattern we see in the Scripture. It's the people that obey God, do what God says. You see that picture, you see that pattern in the Old Testament. You remember Gideon? Gideon in the Old Testament, and of course we know about Gideon and him putting out his fleece and everything like that, but when you go on and you see the thing that was there, God tells Gideon, he said, there's too many of you. I don't want y'all to think you did this. I want you to know that I did it. So he said he pared them down by the way they drank to 300 men, didn't he? He pared them down and said, 300 that do it the way I said to. That drink water the way I say. Now, I've heard people say that, you know, that those 300 were the more cautious men. No, God just knew there were 300 people out there that would drink water in a certain way, that had a habit of drinking water in a certain way. They take the water and reach in and grab it to the hand, bring it to the mouth rather than bend over and everything like that. And there were only three of them, so God said, those are the 300 I want. Everybody else was sent home. Only the 300 that did it God's way. They saw the great miracles, didn't they? Other people heard about it. Other people got the benefit from it, but the only 300 saw it. Now think about that. There's a picture, there's a pattern there. And I'm just trying to tell you, if we can be faithful and we can just try to start doing what God wants us to do and start being willing to just trust God enough to just do the simple things that He tells us to do. Find a way to do it. Call up a friend. Call up family. Call a stranger. You know, go put it out on email, on social media, email, or whatever you want to do it. Walk, knock next door, knock on the door. Walk around telling people. Continue to doing stuff we're doing as a church, but also as individuals. We go out and we do this thing. Then we're going to see God do something. And not only that, we're going to get guidance from God. God doesn't waste time giving in instructions to people that don't want to do. But those who will do, those who will trust Him, those who will believe, that's where we see the miraculous happen. That's where we see lives change. That's where we see the results. And that's where we individually have a closer walk with God, because we know when God speaks to us. We learn. We grow. And that's the way it's supposed to be. So we've seen the whole picture. We've seen the privilege, the necessity, the burden, the responsibility. And now we see the interaction and how those things work together. Philip was already doing what God wanted him to do. He was already doing what he had been taught to do. And now, because he's doing it, God speaks to him and leads him to a certain place. And when it's all over, but the shouting, he's gone somewhere else and he's still doing what God told him to do. What an amazing thing to see what happened during that time frame. So God gives us little snapshots, little pictures like this, and it just gives us something to think about. And so I just want to encourage you to just obey God. Don't worry about what your abilities are. Don't worry about how well you speak. Don't worry about it. Just do what God wants you to do. Just be a witness for Christ. And just be faithful in doing what God tells you to do, and trust Him to do it. And you know what? He'll reach past that. He'll get down into your heart and soul. He'll let you know what He wants you to do. He'll send you to certain people. Every one of those missionaries on there, I guarantee you, they started out as soul winners. Don't believe me? Ask them. They have a burden. Something to think about. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll be dismissed today. Father, help us to just simply trust You to do what we're supposed to do. Help us to trust You for all the outcomes and not worry about our own abilities, but understand that You have all power in heaven and earth, and You've given us a responsibility, and You've given us the privilege of serving in Your work. And Lord, it's not what we do, it's what You've done. And so, Lord, we help us to believe that with all our heart. And Lord, help us to just be willing to do Your will, so that especially that when You do give us specific direction, that we can hear it and we're willing to do it, because we've already proven ourselves willing to just obey a simple command. Help us to that end, Lord. And Lord, that we might see Your glory and see souls saved and see lives changed. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.